Hello, everyone. Today's podcast is brought to you by Pulse Podcast Network. Check us out at PulsePodcastNetwork.com. We are also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts, so make sure to subscribe and follow us on those two to make sure you are updated whenever we drop our latest episodes. Today's sponsor is brought to you by a ticket provider called TickSplits. Listen here for more details.
Have you been searching for the best ticket deals around? Well, look no further. With TickSplix, the price you see is the price you pay. And TickSplix just happens to have over $6 billion in ticket inventory just waiting for you. They absolutely mean it when they say every ticket, every venue, everywhere. And you can save even more with promo code PULSE in all caps to save you 5% off your total purchase. Just go to TickSplix.com and click the search bar. Search events based on your geographic location. Pick the show you want, and bam, it's showtime. Sporting events, Broadway shows, concerts, and more with TickSplix.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for the email newsletter so you can stay up to date on the latest news and savings with TickSplix. That's TickSplix.com, TixBlitz.com. Every ticket, every venue, everywhere.
What's going on, Mike? How you doing today, man?
What's up, Cam? I just got done watching that terrific game, Duke-UNC. Duke comes out on top 74-73 over UNC. It was a tough game, but it was fascinating to watch.
Yeah, it was a super rough game to see in that way, especially with that crazy-ass Kobe White. Just whatever kind of shot that was at the end. I mean, when you're down one, I don't see why you don't try to go for the two. And that shot was just crazy disappointing, but it was a thriller. It was a crazy good game. It really proved that UNC is about it. Like, it really proved how good UNC is and that they are tournament ready.
Yeah, I mean, you can't help but wonder, because trust me, as a coach, I understand that the no timeout thing, it works. Trust me, everybody sees that it works, but we all know that's Roy Williams' thing to not call the timeout, go with the flow of the game. But is it just me? Does it feel like it's like if it's not 50-50, it's like more often than not, especially when you got a young freshman running point guard. I think in that situation, it's best get them all together, call a timeout, settle things down, draw up a play instead of just giving the ball to Kobe White. Of course, I'm saying that now, but if he makes that shot, we're all praising him.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things. Like, I definitely thought, I saw that brick and I saw Nazir Little jump up for the rebound. I definitely thought that tip in was going in.
Oh yeah, everybody was praying and it just. I woke up the whole damn apartment complex with how loud I fucking screamed after that game.
Yeah, it was a game. It was back and forth all game. It was a game of runs, and that's what it was right there. A game of runs, because UNC looked like they were pulling away
to myself in the first half. when we were up 12, I was like thinking to myself, it's a game of runs. They're gonna come back. Don't worry, we can push through that shit. And then, what a thriller it was.
Like I said to you before the game, because you're, Zion Williamson's coming back. Everybody's like, oh, okay, Duke's going to kill him now. No, nobody's going to get killed in this Duke. These are two championship teams. Like I told you, I would not be surprised if we see a part four, because these are two championship teams. I would love to see them meet either in the Final Four or the championship, because they definitely both deserve to be in one seeds. It looks like the ACC is going to end up with three number one seeds, and that's incredible.
Yeah, that would be absolutely insane if there were three number one ACC teams head into the tournament. I think this game, I mean, along with the past few weeks, since like halfway through the season, we've only lost like one game since midway through the season. And yeah. I think even after this loss tonight, I mean, this 1-point loss when we were not favored to win, but I think it was like a 4-point spread, but we really proved what we're about, that we can contend with anybody. I mean, everybody, all the Duke fans is saying, oh, we got Zion back. We're winning by 10 plus. I'm seeing all this, so many people talking all this cash shit, and they end up barely scraping by. I mean, you have RJ Barrett setting us up for fucking victory, missing two clutch free throws.
That was
embarrassing. That's fucking sad. If you couldn't tell already, if you're a kid, this episode is probably not for you. It's gonna be a lot of cussing, most likely. This is not gonna be a typical episode after a UNC Duke and UNC loses. But I don't even know where I was.
Going back on those 2 minutes free throws, I think Roy planned on calling a timeout because he would either miss the first, make the second, or make both. I think he planned on calling a timeout. He saw him miss that second one. It was, let's go. We got him. We got him going.
Sure.
But it got slowed down. It got to the point where Kobe was just dribbling the timeout. I really think that's when he should have set something up. But like I said before, if he makes that ridiculous shot, we're praising him.
Well, see, the thing I sometimes do hate the fact that Roy Williams doesn't call timeouts, but I also think about the fact that you call a timeout and then you have to inbound the ball, and a lengthy team like Duke, it's a good chance the ball's getting poked. Zion can burst out of nowhere and tip anything, and that team's just super lengthy. And I think in that situation, even though, if we could have got the inbounds, it would have been nice to run the play. But I think that's running through Roy's mind almost every time at the end of the game. It's just, we're giving them another chance to get the ball to seal the game, especially against a lengthy team like Duke, Cam Reddish, RJ, Zion. I think it would definitely it would have been hard to inbound the ball for sure, because they probably would have put like tall ass Cam or somebody in front of the inbound. It just would have been ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you can just imagine Zion getting the steal and then going to dunk it with his little walk.
I would have been way more mad if we would have lost off an inbound turnover. No, even though Kobe's shot was fucking ridiculous, I would have been 10 times more. Obviously, everybody would have been 10 times more mad off an inbounds turnover. It wouldn't even no chance, obviously, to win, and that just would have crushed everything.
Yeah, like, I know this is Tar Heels take, and I know we are a North Carolina basketball podcast, but you cannot help but just see the freak of nature Zion is. Like, he is the difference maker in that game.
I mean,
that guy is incredible, man.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I only have good things to say about him is because I'm a realistic basketball person. Like, I'm not gonna front too much, like, unless I like really dislike somebody, but even then most of the time I'm gonna be joking. But this is undoubtable. He's stronger than everybody on the court. No matter who we put on him to guard him, he would just end up spinning, and his spin move is so fucking powerful. It was just throwing our big man out into no man's land, and then, I mean, he's ended up fouling out with 2 minutes left, that was definitely big for at the end of the game. I mean, say we have him, and this is offensive rebound opportunities. Maybe Zion doesn't get that stupid ass fucking putback that won them the game. I mean, even though we had four players there, he slips in the only hole the rebound's going towards. I mean, that was huge.
I don't know if anybody in the country does, but UNC does not have a good matchup for Zion. I doubt anybody in the whole country does. Yeah. But like, you got Luke May. He's not, let's just be real. Luke May is a great player, but he is not athletic enough for Zion. You got Garrison Brooks, who
the majority of the game, but
he can't guard him without fouling him.
Nope. I mean, he's never guarded anybody Zion, of that type, but he could.
Zion made Nazir Little look like he was back in high school.
Honestly, bro, and I hated at the end of the game, Nazir tried going at him and putting up some ridiculous fucking layup, like they were in the gym, trying to play king of the court. I mean, I just couldn't believe
it. You know they're boys, so you know they had a little friendly competition going on there.
For sure. There's a time and place for that, and during the last 3 minutes of a UNC Duke game, and you're throwing up ludicrous shots like that. Like, it's not like he's been known for making them all season. He's averaging like 9 points a game. And I mean, he makes tough layups, but nothing like that. I mean, going up against Zion, anybody is probably a bad shot. Like, unless you're crafty like Kobe White and was able to do up and unders in the air and shit. But Zion, Nazir, that's not him.
I tell you one thing I love about that game, like that I love going into the NCAA tournament, is how they look on the fast break and getting out and in the break in general. They really push the pace on Duke.
For sure.
Especially Cam Johnson.
Speaking of Cam, what a beginning of the game he had. Sadly, that couldn't translate throughout the whole game. I mean, he did good. He is our leading scorer, 23 points, 5 boards. But, I mean, he started off like 5. He started off 5 for 6 and ended 8 for 18. So, I mean, he literally barely made a shot after like the 15-minute mark.
Yeah, he had that clutch and one at the end. That was really nice.
Huge, man.
Kobe, he wasn't hitting all of the shots, but I feel like he was controlling the game. He was doing what he could, like on that last possession. That was a tough one. I couldn't see anybody else coming to help him out, so I can understand why he felt like he had to force that last shot, because he kind of looked like he was on an island with Trey Jones, and he picked up his dribble, which he knows he shouldn't do, but then he kind of had to force it up because there really wasn't another option. Nobody else could go get the ball from him. I feel like Cam could have came up, said, "All right, I'm hitting my shot tonight. I should take this last shot."
Should have taken it.
Yeah, because Cam he took the three before RJ Barrett bricked both of those free throws, and it was a good look. I definitely thought it was in, the little step back.
Oh yeah, that crushed me. I was pretty convinced it was over after that.
Yeah, you can't be mad about that look because he's been hitting all night.
I definitely wasn't mad he took the shot. Good. That was a good look for him, but it was just crushing to see that thing bounce off.
Like we've been talking about the first two podcasts, I love his aggressiveness. Like he ran that ball down, didn't look anywhere else but the rim, pulled up, cash.
And Kobe White, even though he had a terrible shooting night, in my opinion, 4 for 14, 0 for 6 from threes, missed 2 free throws, he showed how quick and he can slice and dice the defense on those pick and rolls. And it was like a signature move he was starting to do. He would just fake to go one way and then would just throw the ball down the middle and split to D and go up for a crafty layup. I mean, that was probably the majority of his points. I saw him do that multiple times. And he's showing how well he can finish at the rim. Even though he had a cold streaky shooting night, he can finish at the rim very, very well.
When he gets that screen from the big man and the defending big man, he hedges up too much and he's too slow on that on defense. He splits that thing, gets right to the rim. He knows how to finish at the rim. Use his body, because he went right into Zion one time at the end. He had to give his body into him, that way he couldn't block a shot. Faked with the right, went up to the left. That was beautiful.
Oh yeah, I was so hyped when he did that. I mean, he's just showing how much of a crafty guard he is, showing that he is possibly NBA ready. I mean, despite his streaky shooting night, I mean, he is a freshman, and a freshman that didn't have a lot of hype coming around him starting off, but I think he's showing that he could definitely be a quality NBA player.
Yeah, Kenny Williams, he didn't have the best shooting night. He made that wide open three at the end. He was 1 for 6 from three, but you gotta love his defense on RJ Barrett that game.
Oh, absolutely. Defense once again, great. I mean, he's really showing the ACC committee why he should have been in the all-ACC defensive team. Somehow he got snubbed. I mean, if you actually know ACC basketball, and especially if you're a UNC fan, you know he is a top defender. He made his first game, RJ Barrett went like 7 for 27 on him. This game, he's going 5 for 15, only 15 points. I mean, he's doing unbelievable things on defense, especially for how undersized he is compared to RJ. But I think our biggest problem tonight, we shot 15% from three. Like 15% going down the line. Luke May 0 for 3. Cam Johnson 2 for 7. Kenny Williams 1 for 6. Coby White 0-6, Nazir Little 0-3, Brandon Robinson 1-1, Seventh Woods airball 0-1. I specifically remember the terrible air loss, exactly why he has 2 minutes played. But absolutely terrible shooting night for us, and we still only lost by 1 point. So that just shows how hard we can still play, even if we're not hitting the threes. Obviously, Duke isn't spraying threes like they're used to doing, but that game just really impressed me. It sucks that we had such a terrible shooting night, because obviously we just hit a couple more of those shots. Anybody has a decent shooting night. I mean, nobody even had a decent shooting night. So we do that, and I mean, we win the game, and we're proving that we're a top team in the nation. We're proving we should be a one seed in the national championship, or in the March Madness run. And I couldn't be more proud of the team, even though we took the L tonight. It was only a 1 point loss. It was a great game, hard played. Couldn't be more proud.
Oh yeah, they came out the ball for sure. Like, another thing, like I told you, Cam Reddish, he is not the same player when Zion is on the court. He doesn't know where to get his shots from. He doesn't look comfortable at all. And Cam Johnson knows that. He took him out of the game completely. He was a complete non-factor. And this guy is supposed to be, what, top 8 pick or so? Lottery pick for sure. But he had almost as many turnovers as he did points. Like, Cam Reddish was a complete non-factor. Hats off to Cam Johnson on his defense there. And it wasn't just the individual defenders. Like, the only guy that got beat, or whoever was guarding Zion, just got beat in the paint pretty much the whole game. Yeah. And that's what kept Duke in the game.
The dude went 13 for 19, 31 points. I mean, we have nobody. I mean, does anybody in the nation have anybody to stop him, like we were saying? But I don't know what we could have done. I mean, we tried putting everybody on. We're putting our five on him, and he's just bodying through him in the paint. We contest him. He's getting his own offensive rebound putbacks. I mean, obviously he made him survive. He survived everything.
He carried him.
He overcame everything. Carried him because everybody else on the team shot bad. RJ Barrett 5-15, Cam Reddish 3-7, Trey Jones, it's a slam brick as always, 5-14. Can't stand the kid, and I hate to say it, but I'm happy he is not all that he was said to be.
He's definitely, usually a lot of times it's the younger brother that comes up and he's better than his older brother, but that's not the case with Tyus and Trey Jones for sure.
Absolutely not. Tyus, he's doing decent in the league.
Yeah, Luke May, he didn't have his best shooting night, but you got to give it off to him. He had 6 offensive rebounds, and that really helped. He bailed him out a lot on a lot of bad shot attempts. Put it right.
I mean, you got like Luke May out rebounding Zion. You cannot complain. I mean, this kid amazes me every single game with how well he can rebound for his size, his athleticism, everything about it. You would never expect him to be able to do these type of things. The perfect comparison is just a Kevin Love comparison. He plays very, very similar to him, at least, especially last year when he was shooting way better from three. But just the undersized four that can rebound way better than expected, and he makes such a difference regardless of his shooting. His, like you said, his offensive rebound putback layups he has, and a lot of them are some tough layups, and he can finish over a lot of people, tall, way taller than him. Just a great rebounder.
Speaking of Kevin Love, I know you saw that long pass to Cam Johnson to start the break. It was on the money.
He made that tough layup. Exactly. They are very, very similar players, even though he's probably not going to get any of the chances Kevin Love has. I mean, Kevin Love was a lottery pick. Luke May is lucky if he's a second rounder. I hate to say it. I love the kid. He's a UNC legend. But if we're being realistic in draft stock, yeah, he's lucky if he's a second rounder. I mean, if he can do exponentially good in the national tournament, probably give him a couple more chances than he would have before. But he's got to start hit. He's got to go. I think he has to do really, really good from three in the national championship. That's going to be a key factor for us because we need more three-point shooting. We can't rely so much on Cam Johnson and Kobe White because obviously everybody can have their off nights. And like tonight when the whole team has one, I mean, somebody's got to be able to pick up somebody else's slack or everybody else's in this case.
Yeah, I know we kind of touched on it earlier with the Nazir Little, Zion Williamson going back and forth. What's your takeaway from Nazir Little in this game? Like, he had those three dunks because it was just some good. Most of them he got set up by Kobe White. One of them he almost lost it and turned it over, but that was just luck of the draw. Like, yeah, but honestly, Duke got a lucky bucket right before that too, so it kind of evened out. But Nazir Little, I don't know. It really did look like he was just forcing shots up at the end. Like he felt like he was the only one on the court. That's what it looked like.
So it's funny because I see Nazir in the first half. He has the ball on like the left wing, and I don't even know like what his name is. It was one of the backup guards for Duke was guarding him, and he passes out, and I'm just thinking like, Take him to the fucking hole. You're 6'6", 6'7", way bigger than this point guard, and you're passing back to Kobe White. I mean, it ended up he got the ball down low anyways, but it's like I want to see way more aggression, but not aggression when you're going up on Zion. Why? Like, why put up a bad shot? Anybody going up on Zion, most likely a bad shot. So, and when I see him going up on Zion but not going up on or trying to drive against guards, I question his IQ. Like, what
shot selection.
Shot selection, IQ, where he's at mentally, how comfortable he is. I mean, did he just want to go up against Zion because that's his boy? Did he actually think he had a chance of making this crazy contested layup? This season has definitely been a disappointment for him, and I see him coming back. I hope he comes back. It's not like I dislike him. I really want him to come back. I want him to develop. Because I think once Cam Johnson's gone next year, he's a fifth-year senior. I mean, he's got to go sometime, right? So when Cam Johnson gets the hell up out of here, Luke May gets out of here, it's gonna be run by him if he stays 100%. Because, unless Kobe stays again, if somehow we kept both of them, that would be miraculous. Say Kobe goes to the league and this year stays, hypothetically, I think it's going to be his team. He's going to be a lot more comfortable because that 18 minutes a night is going up to 30+. He's going to get a lot more time on the floor. And if Kobe leaves, the game's going to be run way more through him. He's going to be getting the ball instead of passing it out. And I think that can do really big things for his draft stock because right now, even though it says that he can still go like late lottery, I don't see what he could really bring to an NBA team. He reminds me of a Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, just
like Stanley
dunking,
Johnson
layup. And defense, because you're athletic, you can move your feet.
Yeah, imagine a Cole Anthony and Nazir Little, Armando Bacot, big three. Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, I would love to see that. It's a big question if we're gonna get Cole Anthony, man. He's the last top 10 pick to pick a team, he's yet to pick a team. Last one to do it in the top 10. And I feel like he's waiting to see what Kobe White's doing, like how good he's going to do. Because I those other schools on the list, UNC is 10 times better than any other school on that list, like hands down. I think like maybe the best was like second best was I can't even think.
Like
maybe
Georgetown.
Notre Dame. Like, I don't know. Regardless, UNC is the best on the team, and I feel like if he wanted to choose one of those other schools, like, and he really felt like that's where he wanted to be, he would have done that by now. It wouldn't make too much sense for him to wait this long to pick a shitty school. I feel like he's just seeing how good Kobe White's going to do, and if he stays, and I don't think he doesn't want to waste his time trying to figure all that shit out, running two point guards, and if he would be coming off the bench or not. He's just going to go somewhere, get his minutes, and hit the draft. And I would love for him to do that at UNC, because we haven't had – I mean, I said this about Nazir Little. We haven't had a player so athletic and explosive before. I was praising Nazir for that before. I was saying, hey, we haven't had a player like him since Harrison Barnes, and this and that and the other. And, wow, what a disappointment. I'm just hoping he stays, because big things can come if he stays 100%. Roy Williams will get him right. I would say our wings don't have as bad as a reputation as our point guards for going in the draft. That our wings have definitely been able to do more productive things. So I'm not really worried about that whole stigma of UNC players not doing too well in the NBA. But I think he stays, and he's going to develop well.
Yeah, like I told you, I see the championship pedigree in North Carolina, but I really think the one thing that can really come back to bite them on the rear end coming up in the NCAA tournament is their lack of depth, man. Like, they got a six-man rotation, and this guy Robinson, he sometimes comes in and he'll give you a few minutes, but that's really gonna hurt. There's a lot of teams in the tournament that are deep, and they sub out four players at a time.
Yeah, our depth this year is definitely not how it normally is. We started off the season running deep rotations. I'm talking about bringing out everybody to see what we had, but obviously Roy Williams thinks that it's better to run a six-man rotation than to even worry about putting a guy named Andrew Playtech on the floor. I don't think that's I think I'm with Roy with that. I don't putting a man named Andrew Playtech on the floor is never a good idea if he's a guard. You know, maybe if he's a 7-foot European athletic big man, you know, maybe. But just no depth whatsoever. But obviously it's not worth it. We just have one, the starting lineup has to condition more, because at the end of both these last two Duke games, we have had terrible scoring droughts at the end of the game, and it's driving me fucking crazy. This second game, we go the last 6 minutes without scoring and somehow pull the shit off, like, out of thin air, because God knows how we could not score for 6 minutes and Duke couldn't bring that back. And in this game, I mean, both teams had pretty bad scoring droughts at the end, but we need to do something. Conditioning, more conditioning, more conditioning, because obviously this six-man rotation, we're not bringing out anybody, and our players seem to be absolutely gassed by the way they're breaking shots at the end of the games. And they have to play way more. They do have to put way more energy into playing Duke, because it's such a big, strong, fast, athletic team. But we got to do something, because, like you're saying, all these other teams have these deep-ass rotations, and if we go against one of them, we have to be 100% when it comes down to the last 7-8 minutes of the game.
Yeah, like, but I do think the great thing about UNC is they're not a full team of freshmen going into the NCAA tournament. They got three solid starters that are seniors going in, and then they got the two or three young guys. What is Garrison Brooks? Sophomore. Junior, sophomore. So they got Kobe White. That's the starting point guard being a freshman. That's big, and the fact that he's gotten better every game. Like we said, he wasn't hitting his shots, but he was controlling the game, getting to the paint, doing what he can.
Five rebounds, four assists. He has really good vision. You could tell. I mean, he's throwing bullet passes down low. Great all-around player, just wasn't hitting the shots tonight. But Kenny Williams, like I was saying last podcast, he is going to be a major key to winning games. Like, when he is hot, when he's hot, most likely the rest of the team is hot. And we're it's just that four-man scoring machine when he – when he's just hitting just 50%, I mean, I just need him to hit it just 50%, hit some threes. I mean, 1 for 6 from three, 3 for 8 from the field. When besides defense, he just not too much contribution from him almost a whole season.
Yeah, I definitely don't think I can see this team getting upset by, you know, a team that nobody knows of in the tournament. Like some years Duke or the big schools that get upset. I definitely don't see that happening with this team. They got too much firepower just between that starting lineup and the Zier Little off the bench. I feel like Roy Williams definitely won't let anything like that happen with this squad. And just they're so all around. They could attack you from so many places, especially when Cam Johnson's playing confident and he's out here doing turnaround fades from the post.
Yeah, that was nice. That shit went straight in. But yeah, it's gonna be tough, but you never know. It's March Madness, but I think after last year, after losing to Texas A&M, I don't think Roy's letting that happen two times in a row. That would be unprecedented. It's not something that's ever happened. I don't think it will happen. This team this year is a lot different than last year, but I think it's a lot more explosive than last year, 100%. Besides Def, this team is way more explosive, way more confident. It seems like Roy is giving the players a lot more freedom to do what they do. He trusts them, which is good. But I mean, sometimes that can be bad when you just have players taking ludicrous shots and putting games in the grave.
Yeah. So I mean, UNC, they don't go out in the first round. They take care of business with Louisville, who they lost to at home. So that was, you know, they had a little chip on their shoulder going into that game.
Oh, for sure. We got destroyed at home.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. Let's just not even go there.
Yeah.
And, you know, they play – this is probably one of the biggest college games that wasn't part of the NCAA tournament that I can remember, just because, you know, Zion missing the first two games, him coming back against UNC, who won the first two games.
Coming off
it was a
night.
Big game. Yeah, it was a big game.
Oh, 100%.
And they came to play. That's all there is to say about that. Yeah. They came to play.
It was a rough loss.
They should be up 1 seed.
Yeah, 100%. It was a rough loss, but I was initially pissed off when we lost, but you know, it's been some time. I've calmed down. And as I said before the game, you can't be too mad about losing to a fully healthy Duke team, but when it comes to a game that close, you can't help but be fucking pissed after you lose it. But it just showed how good of a team we actually are. We're top with anybody. I think we can compete with anybody in the nation when it really comes down to it. We're going to find out in the tournament. I don't want to see Duke again in the tournament. I'd rather not. I would love to see them get knocked out by a 14-15 seed again. That would
not happen.
Absolutely make my year. You know, never know. Cuse beat them fools when they were fully healthy. Anything can happen. It's March. You know, who would have thought UVA's losing to UMBC when they were supposed to be the best 1 seed in the tournament last year? But yeah, I don't see it happening. Right. But you know, a man can dream.
Well, all right, guys, we're getting ready to head into Selection Sunday. We'll see what happens with this. Florida State upsets UVA. That's big there.
Absolutely.
So Florida State plays Duke in the ACC championship. We'll see what happens with that. We're going to head into Selection Sunday. Hopefully we see a number one seed. We expect to see a number one seed just because of how they finished the year. And, you know, Duke beat them by 1 in the ACC tourney. And that should not give you the 1 seed.
No.
All right, guys, this is Tar Heels Take, brought to you by Pulse Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you.
See you next time.